faith, spiritual values, moral issues, government, economy, education, work, responsibility. What we think about these depends on our worldview. Now, VCY America presents Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House.
Welcome. Glad you are with us. Well, yesterday I told you that I was going to go through some of the audio of my interviewing Phil Haney and Phil Haney's TV show. Ho, 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 ho. Jackpot. Score. Wait till you hear what I found this morning of my interviewing Phil Haney on July 25th, 2019. I also went through some of his old TV shows, talking about the Taliban in Afghanistan. Maybe I'll bring that to you tomorrow. It'll be 2 years next month that the FBI murdered Phil Haney. Oh, excuse me. Did I say that? It'll be 2 years next month that someone murdered Phil Haney, probably the FBI, in my opinion. And if not the FBI, they put someone up to it, or they know who did it and they covered it up. Sure, the FBI, they're just terrible at figuring out crimes. Yeah, they have no clue. I don't know. A former Department of Homeland Security officer who's very outspoken about Islam ends up dead. Huh? And 2 years later, we can't figure it out. Really? Is that because you guys there at the FBI, you murdered him? Or did you have someone do it? Or do you know who did it? Are you covering it up? You can't figure it out, can you? Maybe call up Larry, Curly, and Moe. See if they can help you. So, you know how I think of the FBI. You know, when we talk about the FBI, it's kind of like someone that talks about someone, let's say, a wife that they held in high esteem. You know, they put them up on a pedestal, and they thought their wife was just wonderful. Comes to find out their wife's no good. Those are the people that are the most jaded, right? Because you're like, I believed in them. I thought they were of high, noble character. Turns out, I was deceived. Well, that's kind of how I am with the FBI. I grew up respecting the FBI. Going to the FBI headquarters as a 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 and 9 and 10-year-old, going through the tour as all these family and friends would come through town wanting to go through all the different sites in Washington, D.C. and grew up going to church with FBI agents. I respected the FBI. And then I found out it's just a bunch of dirty, dirty cops, most of them. And don't give me this baloney about, oh, the rank and file, they're good guys. Yeah, if the rank and file were such good guys, more of them would be screaming and hollering, right? I'm not saying there aren't some good guys. But do you think corrupt people hire noble character people? No. And the folks that I do know, I don't even know, I think some of them now have maybe retired, but one or two that I did know and had a regular contact with a few years ago, all they could talk about is how quick they wanted to get out. All they could talk about is retiring and getting out because they realized what was happening. So they just kept their head down, their mouth shut to get out. So whatever good guys are there, they're being quiet to finish up their years, get their retirement, and most of them are leaving. As soon as the calendar flips over for them to leave, they're gone. So I don't know who killed Phil Haney. But I certainly think the FBI probably played a hand in it and certainly played a hand in the cover-up. That's what I think. But what was it Phil Haney was saying? Well, I have some audio of my interviewing him. Again, we're going to be bringing you a lot of audio of Phil Haney. Because I was going through some of this today. Well, we should really play this. I mean, again, he's talking about the Taliban in Afghanistan. So here's the description from July 25th, 2019. By the way, all of my radio shows, TV shows, thousands and thousands and thousands of them archived at situationroom.net, situationroom.net. Guest, former DHS officer Phil Haney. Topic, federal law enforcement has become the most corrupt of all federal agencies. And Phil Haney, former charter founder of the Department of Homeland Security, explains why. People often ask why more members of Congress do not stand up to the deep state. Today, Brandon reads from an article by U.S. Congressman Louis Gohmert on the life of U.S. Representative Kurt Weldon, and that of his daughter was forever changed when he dared to question on the floor of the U.S. House of Representatives the FBI of Robert Mueller. Brandon reads from a report by U.S. Congressman Louis Gohmert on how Mueller's FBI destroyed the life of U.S. Senator Ted Stevens. Both of these stories reveal why even members of Congress are afraid of the corrupt federal law enforcement agencies. Phil comments on these reports and then explains how Robert Mueller compromised the FBI to jihadis of care, Muslim Brotherhood, and Hamas. Brandon and Phil all ask all of those listening to the program to write to their congressman and U.S. senator and ask them a very specific question. And if time allows, we'll get to what that question was. All right, so without further delay, let's go to the audio of my July 25th, 2019 interview with Phil Haney. I'm going to probably have to stop it and make comments along the way because some of it's just jaw-dropping. And if time allows, we're going to hear from a few of Phil's friends. Dick will probably call in. Annie Cyrus will probably call in. But let's get going. Here we go.
And today you're going to find out what they did to Congressman Weldon, what they did to U.S. Senator Ted Stevens. Anyone that raises their voice in a position where they can actually do something, they will be destroyed. And you can bet they will have the media there to see it. Because as Billy Vaughn says, the message is to you. The message is to you, Mr. and Mrs. American, and the message is for you to sit down and shut up. And if you dare raise your voice in opposition, we will destroy you too. We will find some obscure little thing in your taxes and make sure we destroy you. And so you say, well, I don't really care about all this. Heaven is my home. And you want to have a pietist view that your citizenship is not here on earth at all, it's in heaven? Have that pietist view. You'll change your tune when you're sitting in prison. And you'll be saying, why didn't I take more responsibility for the liberties and freedoms I was afforded? So this is very important. And I think we now have the deep state on the run. And if you want to kick back and do nothing now, then don't complain. When the IRS gets a hold of your worldview and figures out who you contribute and donate to, and then they begin coming after Christians, anyone who dares raise their voice on social media or go after guys like myself and Jim Schneider and Usama and Sharam, and the rest of us are no longer around really to say much because we're too busy fighting legal fights and legal battles and hate crime legislation and the Equality Act, and all we're spending our time all with lawyers trying to stay out of jail. Because that's where this is going. If this trend continues, and again, it comes back to this point, you say, well, why hasn't someone done something? Well, people have tried to do something. And some of those people included guys like Phil Haney, who tried to warn the American people. And what they do? They convened a grand jury against him to try to throw him in jail. They raided the home of Congressman Weldon. They prosecuted Senator Ted Stevens. All of these people innocent. But they dared to confront the shadow government, i.e. the deep state. Joining me now is Phil Haney. Phil, thank you for joining us today.
Oh, you're very welcome. Glad to be here.
What do you make of my opening monologue?
Wow. I'm thinking it's even deeper than what you're saying, which is deep enough. But you're talking about the level where they're dealing with individuals, going after members of the House, law enforcement officers, people that are having the courage to stand up and defend the Constitution. But that's not even the first level or the deeper level. The deeper level is clearing the arena of any of the information that they don't want the American people to even know about. Going after the people is the third stage of the process when it becomes visible to the public. The earlier two stages that are actually deeper and more ominous than even going after people in the public arena where you can actually literally see what they're doing is, first of all, ignoring information that's in the classified level, meaning they knew that there was a likely attack going to happen in Boston. They knew that there was a likely attack in San Bernardino. They had enough coherent evidence to point in the direction that law enforcement officials in the different agencies like mine, Customs and Border Protection, or the FBI, and so on, the DOJ, knew well in advance, well enough, or even Orlando. So first thing they do is ignore information that's been put in there. The second level, which is also not visible to the public, only to people that are working inside the government, is that they begin to destroy the information. Literally push buttons on keyboards and eradicate it, flush it down the toilet. And see, the remarkable thing is that this happens not inside the political arena, not inside the social arena, per se. It happens inside law enforcement. Who are the people that are going after President Trump? Are they social workers? Nope. Are they even politicians? Well, politicians are rooting for it, but they're not actually the ones that are taking the lead and have the authority to do the investigations of people like President Trump. The individuals that are doing the actual investigations are law enforcement officers. That means that our law enforcement portion of our government, our political structure, is the most corrupt of all of them, because they have the most layers of insulation built around them to prevent anyone from coming into their arena of operation. Mm. And so that's the third level. Once they start by ignoring information, then B, start eliminating it, eradicating it, pretending like it never existed at all. You think Hillary Clinton was unique in just deleting and smashing electronic devices and deleting information? No, not by any means. And that is what I talked about in See Something, Say Nothing. Is this, I happen, and I do say, by God's providence, to be placed inside as a founding member of an agency and watch this whole threefold process unfold during a 15-year career inside the federal government. First ignoring, then deleting, and the third stage is to go after the people that put the information in the first place.
Mm. And let me just stop right there. And then go after the people that put the information in there in the first place. And who was that? Phil Haney. Phil Haney. For those of you just joining us, this is former DHS official, Department of Homeland Security founding member, Phil Haney. See Something, Say Nothing. I produced his TV show from this news desk. He was killed 2 years ago next month. Still not been solved by Curly, Larry, and Moe at the FBI. Or is it even more sinister than that? It is more sinister than that. Curly, Larry, and Moe were incompetent. These people are corrupt. And he's saying, then they go after the people who actually put the information in the database. Well, that was Phil. And then they started trying to delete it. And Phil put a little one at the bottom of his emails in the email chain. And whenever someone went to try to delete it, it would come back to him the timestamp they were trying to delete it from the system and who, and he saved all of it. He saved all of it. Phil was working on a book. Some people think that book is never going to see the light of day. I wouldn't be so sure of that. I wouldn't be so sure of that. I wouldn't be so sure that that book would never see the light of day. Because it turns out that Phil put a lot of it in our interviews. He put a lot of the information that was going to go in his book in our interviews on purpose. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Radio, our website, worldviewradio.com. I'm playing an interview where I interviewed Phil Haney, former DHS officer, author of See Something, Say Nothing. I interviewed him many, many, many times, as you guys know, but this is for the new folks listening. We produced his TV show. He was in my documentaries. He was a very, very close friend and confidant. And we talked often, including up to the days before his passing, which will be 2 years ago next month. And we're playing an audio from July 25th, 2019, and he just got done saying one of the things they do is they start going after the people who actually put the information in the database. Well, that was Phil Haney, and they went after him, didn't they? Let's continue.
That's when you see the General Flynn's and the Matthew Dooley's and the Steve Coughlin's and the John Guandolo's and other people like that. And then what happens after that is it breaks out into open society. And then you see macro organizations like the social media and the U.S. government colluding together to wholesale, broad spectrum deletion of information or controlling of information. But it all started inside the federal government, who has the first and primary charge, according to the Constitution, to prevent outbreaks of violence and insurrections both at the federal level and at the state level. They're violating their most absolute fundamental constitutional responsibility by not protecting the rights and privileges of American citizens. It starts in law enforcement. So what you're seeing with people starts two stages earlier. And once it breaks out into the public domain, then you know that we are, you know, it's fully developed. It's a real serious, we're at a really serious level when they start going after people in public like they have been.
Absolutely. Let me give you one example.
And before I give that one example, how chilling is it to hear him say that, folks? When they start going after people publicly. The two other arenas you don't see, this one you're seeing, but you know when you see this one, the other two have been going on behind the scenes when they start going after people. And who is giving us this warning? Phil Haney. What did they do? I believe they murdered Phil Haney. They went after Phil Haney, the very man warning us about this danger.
I can give you two examples. Let me give you one example of a man that tried to do what was right and warn the American people, much like you did. His name was U.S. Congressman Weldon. Mr. Weldon had been elected to office several times. He would win rather handily in his elections, I'm told, and from my research. Kurt Weldon. And I'm going to read from Louis Gohmert, Congressman Louis Gohmert's report, Robert Mueller Unmasked, which you can find online, and you should print out, and you should read, and you should email, and you should Facebook, and you should tweet. And every American should read this, and you'll come to understand what kind of person, of low-level character, and a dirty cop, I believe, Robert Mueller is, along with all of his friends and buddies that support him. And I'm tired of hearing about him being a U.S. Marine. He's a disgrace to the uniform, in my opinion. He says, during my first term in Congress, 2005 to 2006, Congressman Kurt Weldon delivered some powerful and relentless allegations about the FBI having prior knowledge that 9/11 was coming. He alleged loudly and vociferously that there was documentary evidence to show that 9/11 could have been prevented and thousands of lives saved if the FBI had done their job. My recollection is that he may have been accused them of intentionally turning their heads. He held up documents at times while making these claims in speeches on the floor of the U.S. House of Representatives. I was surprised that FBI Director Mueller seemed to take those allegations without the major response that appeared to be appropriate, at least to me. It seemed he should either admit the FBI might made significant mistakes or refute the allegations. Little did I know Mueller's FBI was preparing a response. You want to hear what the response was when we come back on the other side of the break, folks? You're going to hear what happens when a good congressman lifts his head up about the deep state, about see something, say nothing, what they do to him and his family, what they could do to you.
All right. No, that's not the break. Obviously, that's the break then, not the break now. So we're just going to pick it up, jump right over that break, and come right back. Here we go.
My guest is, it's also wvwtv.com/store. Is the shorter URL. My guest is Phil Haney, author of See Something, Say Nothing. Before the break, I was mentioning Kurt Weldon. He was a congressman, and he got on the floor, according to Louis Gohmert, congressman from Texas, and he started railing that the FBI had information, if they'd connected the dots, and they had the information on 9/11. And we'll bring his down till and I'll call him here in a second. But here's what Weldon said. Here's what Lou Gohmert says about Weldon. That Mueller should have just responded and said, hey, no, that's not true, or yes, it is true, we made some mistakes, whatever. But he didn't. He says, Congressman Lou Gohmert says, little did I know Mueller's FBI was preparing a response, but it certainly was not the kind of response that I was expecting if an honorable man had been running the once hallowed institution. So he's calling Mueller a dishonorable man. He said, you can read two of the Congressman Weldon's speeches on the floor that are linked below. After reading the excerpts I have provided, you may get a window into the mind of the FBI director or someone under Mueller's control at the FBI. The FBI literally destroyed Congressman Weldon's public service life, which foreclosed his ability to use a national platform to expose what he believed were major problems in the FBI fostered under the Clinton administration. Here's but one such excerpt of a speech wherein he spoke, and then it provides it. Okay? But what did they do to his family? Do you know what they did to his family? They did a pre-dawn raid on his home. That seems like a rather common theme. They did a raid on his home. They raided his house. And they went after his family, his daughter. But guess what? Guess what? That was just days before his election. 2 weeks before his election. And so he had no chance to respond. And by the way, local TV and print media had all been alerted to the raid in advance, just like Roger Stone, so they could use this to humiliate him. As though he had been caught red-handed, says one report. In the ensuing 2 weeks, local and national media ran multiple stories implying that Weldon, too, must have been under investigation. Given the coverage, Weldon lost the election. To this day, incredibly, no one in authority has talked to Weldon or his daughter about the raid or the investigation. There was no follow-up, no questions, no grand jury interrogation, nothing. 1 year after the raid, the local FBI office called Weldon's daughter to have her come get the property that had been removed from her home. That was it. The raid ruined the career of Weldon and his daughter. There you go, 7 a.m. They raid his house, that of his daughter. But nothing after that. They didn't interview him, no testimony, no grand jury. They didn't have to. Mission accomplished. He's no longer in Congress. Then they turned around and did this to Ted Stevens, who is a U.S. senator, and they claimed he supposedly got some kind of sweetheart deal on the renovation of his cabin, and they hounded him and indicted him, and they supposedly paid off an investigator. Huh, you mean they richly rewarded phony baloney witnesses? Yeah, that's what Congressman Louis Gohmert says. Quote, but relying on false records and fueled by testimony from a richly rewarded cooperating witness, government prosecutors convinced jurors to find him guilty just 8 days before the general election, which he lost by less than 2% of the vote. Pretty amazing, actually. I think the public largely knew this was a bogus event, but he lost. Gohmert says after a report substantiated massive improprieties by the FBI, and DOJ in the investigation and prosecution of Senator Stevens, the result was ultimately a complete dismissal of the conviction. At the time, there was no direct evidence that Director Mueller was aware of the tactics of concealing evidence that would have exonerated Stevens. So they were excluding that, folks. They knew they had the evidence to show that he wasn't guilty, but they didn't provide that. And the creation of evidence that convicted him in 2008. Supposedly Mueller didn't know about it. Well, maybe he did, maybe he didn't. But if he didn't, let me tell you, the fish rots from the head down. Nearly 4 years later, 2012, the Alaska Dispatch News concluded, quote, bottom line, Kepner, the FBI investigator accused of wrongdoing by this FBI agent Joy, who is a whistleblower, who they pretty much destroyed her career, is still working for the FBI and is still investigating cases, including criminal probes. Joy, the whistleblower, who was the FBI agent who disclosed the FBI's vast wrongdoing, especially of the guy Kepner? Well, she's left the agency, end quote. Director Mueller either did not control or could have controlled what happened to the lead FBI agent that destroyed a well-respected U.S. senator. That U.S. senator was not only completely innocent of the manufactured case against him, he was an honest and honorable man. Under Director Mueller's overriding supervision, the wrongdoer who helped manufacture the case stayed on, and the whistleblower was punished. Obviously, the FBI director wanted his FBI agents to understand that honesty would be punished if it revealed wrongdoing within Mueller's organization. So the good agent who tried to blow the whistle gets destroyed. The U.S. senator gets destroyed. The crooked FBI agent gets to keep his job. Folks, this again is why when you say, wait a minute, why don't people lift up the shout? Well, people have tried lifting up shouts. Congressman Weldon. So apparently Mr. Stevens, Senator Stevens, did something to upset the deep state. They destroyed him. And sadly, of course, he ended up dying in a plane crash. Wow. And then when you have people like U.S. Congresswoman, a friend of mine who I knew long before she was a congresswoman, spoke at many a Worldview weekends when she was running for state senate, and then when she was running for the House, and then when she was in the House, someone I've known years and years and years, her family, her husband, her daughter, and you guys know her as Michelle Bachmann. When Michelle Bachmann tried to lift up a shout about Muslim Brotherhood, what did the deep state media do? Painted her out to be a kook, a crazy person, a homophobic. But everything she said about Muslim Brotherhood and CARE was absolutely accurate. So, folks, this is what happens to public figures, so it sends a message. This is part of the brainwashing, the propaganda, the intimidation that makes anyone afraid to say anything. Because, folks, they could find a reason to throw any of us in jail at any time they wanted because there are so many federal laws. I promise all of us will violate some this week not even knowing it. Not to mention, just start digging through your taxes. Even the most honest person is going to make a mistake because even the accountants, when they actually do tax returns, give the same tax returns to accountant and you'll five different accountants and they'll come up with five different tax returns that look different. Why? Because they all understand the laws differently. And don't think it's not devised that way in order they can throw anyone in jail anytime they want. Or at least get them scared enough to sit down and shut up. Phil Haney, welcome back to the program. What are your thoughts?
Well, you're talking a lot about the FBI and Robert Mueller. I'd like to go back in time to when my first encounter with him was clear back in February of 2002. Imagine, that's 17 years ago. This is 5 months after 9/11, when we'd just been attacked by known affiliates of the global Islamic movement, Al-Qaeda, so-called, and he, on February 13th of 2002, sat down in a meeting in Washington with, quote-unquote, U.S. leaders of American, Arab, and Muslim organizations, seeking to build on earlier discussions, that means immediately after 9/11, they were already sitting down with leaders of Muslim Brotherhood front groups. And I'll tell you who they were in just a second. On a number of issues ranging from vigilante attacks, which of course never happened, and other hate crimes. We're not looking at possible subsequent attacks at this point. The FBI is already coddling the Muslim community and bringing them into positions of influence and authority within the federal government. And they also wanted to discuss the value of the continuing assistance from the Arab and Muslim communities in the overall effort to provide greater security for all Americans. And who do you suppose was at the meeting? Mihad Awad.
Let me stop it right there. Who was at the meeting? Ahmad Mihad. I think this is one of the leaders of Muslim Brotherhood. I'm pretty sure that's who that is, if I remember correctly. So we'll pick it up right there with Phil Haney, July 25th, 2019. Is this like chilling to listen to this, folks? Knowing what happened to Phil Haney, or actually not knowing what happened to Phil Haney? Knowing and not knowing both, actually. 2 years ago next month. We're going to keep rolling through this. Oh, and this is just the beginning, because today I started going through other audio recordings. He even warns us about the Taliban in Afghanistan. We'll get to that this week. Don't go away. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back. Glad you are with us. Sorry, I guess we're having some dropping earlier in the program going on. We had a bad storm in the area, and that's what happens. I don't know what happens, but equipment gets wet somewhere along the way. Apparently, Comcast doesn't have enough equipment that they can't keep from leaving out in the rain. I don't know. It's a joke. But anyway, here we go. Let's go back to Phil Haney.
And who do you suppose is at the meeting? Nihad Awad, a.k.a. Nihad Hamad. Did you know he had two names? The executive director of CARE, the director of government affairs for CARE, named Jason Erb, E-R-B, Ned Z. Sackerby, who is acting director of the American Muslim Council, and Hassan Ibrahim, national director of IMPAC. These are all groups that were founded by known members of the Muslim Brotherhood. Mr. Haney, that's a bold statement. How can you prove that? Well, it's very well known, it's been public for quite some time, that the FBI was actually surveilling Nihad Awad and other leaders of the Palestine Committee here in United States, and knew, actually recorded them in hotel rooms in Philadelphia as early as 1993, planning the creation of a group called Council on American Islamic Relations.
Which is Hamas doing business in the U.S. as CARE.
Exactly. It is Hamas. These guys are all Hamas people. These are Muslim Brotherhood people, too. So they knew for, 9 years before they even met in 2002. And this is Robert Mueller, director of the FBI.
Well, that's the voice of Phil Haney. When he comes back, I'm going to continue to just let him loose because I think he has a lot more to say about Robert Mueller. And what's the point of the program today? The point of the program is, again, a lot of you email saying, why doesn't Congress do something? Where are our members of Congress? I'm trying to explain to you, folks, there have been members of Congress who have tried to do something. They destroy them. There have been people who say things they don't like. They do pre-dawn raids on their homes. This is what happens when you're starting to roll over into tyranny and a dictatorship.
All right, now that was the break there. And so, again, this is what they do. You speak up and speak out. And here we're actually talking about what happens to people who speak up and speak out with a guy who 2 years ago next month, somebody murdered, and the FBI can't figure it out. Larry Curley and Moe can't figure it out. Or can they? Maybe they know who did it. Maybe they're covering for the cover. You'd think they could figure something out in 2 years, don't you folks? So how ironic, we're being warned about what happens to people that warn by a guy somebody murdered 2 years ago next month, who used to sit at this very news desk, and we produced his TV show, who, by the way, put a lot of his stuff for his new book in the TV shows, knowing we would not back down, knowing we would not pull them, knowing we would back them up, knowing we would archive them. Did you hear what I just announced for the first time? Phil Haney put a lot of the stuff that was going to go in his new book, in his TV shows that I produced, that he sat at this desk producing with us, and put them in there for safekeeping. So guess what? We basically have a lot of Phil Haney's book. Touché. Let's keep going.
All right, welcome back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Radio, our website, worldviewradio.com. My guest is Phil Haney. He's author of the book See Something, Say Nothing. He also is a broadcaster with us on the TV side at WVWTV.com. We put up a new show of him last week. I think we have another one, Standing in the Wings. It's already post-edited. It just needs to be compressed and uploaded. And so you can find those at WVWTV.com. Phil, let's continue talking about Robert Mueller and the deep state and people who try to speak up, like yourself, Michelle Bachmann, Congressman Kurt Weldon, the late Ted Stevens. And what happens when the deep state wants to go after them, pay people to lie? The good people get destroyed. The liars stay inside the government. They stay inside the FBI. The good people get forced out. Guys like you have grand juries convened against them for doing your job, trying to protect the American people. And the point I'm trying to make today is that we as Americans had better not comply to this brainwashing. What they're trying to do is intimidate us as Americans to not talk, to be quiet. And that's, again, what Billy Vaughn said that folks will see in Siege, that all of this, what's done to Roger Stone, what's been done to any of these guys that we can talk about, Eddie Gallagher and many others, he says is really a message for the American people. Sit down and shut up. And the American people, we outnumber them. We outnumber them. And we, the American people, better not sit down and shut up. And we have under our state constitutions and under the Declaration of Independence, we have the right to actually alter and abolish this government. And so the central government, we outnumber them. And at the state level, we need to start electing governors and secretaries of state and attorney generals that understand the 9th and 10th Amendments. That we don't have to have our civil liberties destroyed by a central government, that we can protect our people. Just as Missouri, for example, Missouri's passing legislation that says you cannot take the guns of our citizens in Missouri, that any federal group or agency or employee that comes in here trying to take the weapons of our citizens under federal law, they can be arrested and tried, that we're not going to comply to your bogus laws that violate at the federal level the Second Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. And it's time to start electing, particularly in the southern states, more and more conservatives that will not stand up to this kind of tyranny. Because if we don't, we're going to see the end of freedom of speech, freedom of religion, the Equality Act, anything they can use to silence those who are opposed to the deep state, the shadow government, it will be tried. And I'm concerned that many Christians are buying into the brainwashing, whether from pastors that have twisted Romans 13, that say you're just a go-along to get along, you're never all governments are ordained and approved of by God, so I guess Hitler was, wrong-o, God allowed it, didn't approve of it. But if Christians don't have the proper view on this, who is going to lead the way if not the Christians? Who is going to lead the way opposing this and understanding these are the warning signs, and what they're really doing is sending a message to the American people, and we, the American people, better understand what it is they're doing, see these warning signs, and then respond accordingly, according to the laws of our state and our federal government that gives us the right to deal with this central government that's running roughshod over good people. Correct? Is that
you're
right, Bill?
Me, friend, if you're correct.
Yes.
Absolutely. If it's the fundamental principle of the Constitution, and that we are endowed with these rights from the Creator, who instituted government among men to generously, and I say generously, protect the very liberties that He gives us. That's the whole point for government, is not to intrude into our affairs, but to protect and enhance the liberties that the Lord has given us. That is why the U.S. Constitution is a unique document among all forms of government, other than perhaps the form of government that existed in Israel during the times of David and Solomon, the Golden Age. But other than that, there is no other form of government that's ever been formalized and put into effect that comes anywhere near the U.S. Constitution and its direct recognition and declaration of the rights that we're endowed with. And yes, government is instituted among men by our Creator. And by the way, as we were talking on the break, the word politics, which we throw around like a football every day, its original meaning is the affairs of the city. So even believers within the faith arena who are still wringing their hands in anxiety whether or not they should be involved in politics, should simply look at the Declaration that we're endowed by rights by our Creator, recognize that government is instituted by the very same Creator, and that politics is simply the affairs of the city. So if you live in a city, you work there, you pay taxes, you buy and sell, and have neighbors and friends, you're already involved in politics.
That's right.
You acknowledge it or not.
That's right.
So the whole argument, we should have graduated from this a long time ago.
That's so
true.
The
fact that we haven't graduated from it, and so many evangelicals, and I'll say that specifically, don't vote, that's a fault. Because if we continue not voting, we will gradually see our rights and liberties dissolved and undermined. And this whole issue of the FBI, which after all is a law enforcement agency that's supposedly protecting our rights and liberties, but has now been turned into a hammer to beat American citizens on the anvil of the state. And you mentioned Michelle Bachmann about this time in 2012. It was the summer of 2012. Is when they released those five letters that they wrote to the inspector generals of each of the five agencies in the federal government that are charged with national security. And she wrote with four other members of Congress, all of whom I knew, in fact, helped provide background information to reinforce the statements that they were making in the letters. About this time of the year, our members of the Republican Party, I'm talking Mike Rogers, John Boehner, and McCain, publicly came out and attacked Michelle Bachmann for being biased, racist, inflammatory, that these statements were not true, and that she challenged the integrity of Hillary Clinton and her assistant. I'm having a blank on her name.
Huma Abedin.
And that her past affiliations with known Muslim Brotherhood front groups might be of concern to our national security. I knew Michelle Bachmann quite well. She was the very first member of Congress that gave me an audience. That set in motion a sequence of events that led me to testify before Congress 65 times. Between then and now, including, and this is the only time I ever spoke in public, before Senator Ted Cruz's Judiciary Committee hearings on the 28th of June, 2016, called Willful Blindness. First time in history that a subject matter expert spoke about the threat of Sharia before the Congress in public. It's on C-SPAN. You can go back and look at it today. And even in that, the Democrats on the Judiciary Committee, many of whom were on the same committee that was supposedly giving Kavanaugh a fair hearing, did everything they could behind the scenes to keep me from testifying before the committee and almost succeeded. But thankfully, Ted Cruz said he had discretion as the chairman and he was going to choose to allow me to testify. But they did not want me speaking in public. But that was all set in motion by my initial speaking to Michelle Bachmann clear back in the spring of 2012 when I told her about the fact that classified information was being deleted out of the databases and that we were in threat from Islamic terrorism. And I saw her publicly criticized and demeaned by our own members of Republican congressmen. And can you imagine what it must have felt like to be an active duty subject matter expert in counterterrorism, watching my own elected officials that were supposedly on our side making utter historical fools of themselves because they were wrong? And the five members of Congress who signed those letters will be seen in history as heroes. One of them, by the way, was Louie Gohmert.
One of them was Louie Gohmert. Interesting. All right, we come back. We're going to be joined by Annie Cyrus, Dick from Maryland. I'm asking those two to call in to respond to what they've been hearing. They also were very close personal friends with Phil Haney. Isn't this a little chilling, folks? Let's talk about it more. Welcome back. Glad you are with us. We're joined now by Dick from Maryland and Annie. We were all very good friends with Phil. We could have grabbed more people on the phone, but I think these two will suffice for today. Let's start with you, Annie. Annie, what are your thoughts as you're listening to the voice of Phil Haney warning us about what happens to those that raise their voice against the deep state, that expose the deep state, that bring forth the information that the deep state doesn't want. How ironic that he was the one warning about what the deep state will do to people, and somebody murdered him 2 years ago next month. I know you agree with that assessment. Phil did not commit suicide.
Oh, no. Phil Haney was murdered. And I agree with also what you mentioned during this program, that they don't want to tell who killed Phil Haney. They know who it is. They're just covering it up. I strongly believe that, and I'm not surprised. I think me and you, days after Phil Haney was found dead, we did say this. This is going to go on, and that's going to turn into a cold case, and nobody's going to ever know. But I'll be honest with you, on a personal level, when you started the program, I realized how much I miss Phil as a friend and as a leader. We really do need Phil Haney back right now, right about now, with what the government is doing.
Yes.
With what that's the thing. When you did that interview with Phil Haney, our administration was Trump administration, so we were only facing danger via the Obama cabal. We can call it the shadow government, whatever we call it. But today, it's both. We have the Biden regime as the official government, and we have the shadow government, both pushing for the same agenda, as Phil Haney always said. I have personally learned a lot. But there was one thing you guys did talk about, which was Homo Abedin and Hillary Clinton. And there is a program out there on my YouTube channel that I put together with help of Phil Haney that is top 10 reasons Homo Abedin should terrify you. And he helped me dig a lot of information on that woman and put it together into a video format.
Mm. And they'll find that on your YouTube channel.
On my YouTube channel, yes. Mm. Just look up my name and Homo Abedin, the video comes up. But one thing, you're very correct, that you're always correct on most of everything I've heard from you. But yes, it's to a point where all of us need to daily remind everybody, I'm not suicidal. Because we don't know when one of us is next. Mm-hmm. What Phil Haney said is happening. We officially have political prisoners in this country. I still can't say that sentence without having shivers. In the United States of America, under that unique constitution that Phil Haney talked about, we have political prisoners that are in there for more than a year now. Some of them, nobody knows where they are. Some of them, they're just sitting there with absolutely no charges against them. This is where we are, and this is what, less than 2 years ago, right? This interview with Phil was less than 2 years ago. Look how fast we are getting there. And you said it, I think it was on the radio, the previous interview you were playing back, you said, if you sit down and do nothing, do not complain. Mm-hmm. But they did. Brandon, they did. Majority of Americans sat back and didn't take messages of Phil Haney, yourself, Jamie Glazov, myself. They don't take our message serious.
And Annie, Phil, as you know, is working on a book. Do we have a lot of his book?
Yes.
Where is it?
Worldview Weekend, radio and TV, has about 80% of what is in that book. That Phil Haney wrote.
And how do you know that, Annie?
Because he told me himself.
What did he say?
On a phone call, he told me that he trusts Brandon House and his commitment to our freedom and liberty enough that he has started inserting his slideshows and his information on his program that he's doing for World Weekend. Knowing if something was to happen to him, Worldview Weekend would continue spreading his message and his information.
And are we doing that?
Absolutely. I mean, literally, Brennan, you're the only person who did not take down Phil Haney's video and audio after what happened to him. And a lot of other channels did. A lot of other channels pushed it back and hid it under as much other videos as they could because they were too afraid they're going to come after them. But that today you are re-airing information, knowing what could come at you and your website and everything else.
Dick, would you like to comment on what you've been hearing?
Yes, I would. I think it's worth it to focus on Philip Haney as a man. He was a disciple of Jesus Christ. I spoke to him regularly about himself and his wife, Francesca. I know he did the memorial service on your program. They were committed to the truth. And he knew what happened to these other people. He knew these other people that were ruined and silenced, and he would not be silenced. After he retired honorably, they tried to get rid of him while he was in the government, 9 different investigations, including an FBI investigation, which could have sent him to prison. He got through all of that, retired honorably, and he went on the road nonstop with full support from his wife back home, who was actually quite ill. He traveled across the country with you and other people, and he told the truth over and over and over again. And that's why the only thing they could do to silence him, they did. They killed him. And I guess my comment is it's so important that you're playing his words and that you've kept his records. I went back to a May 2019 broadcast that you did from the same desk you're sitting at, where Philip talked specifically about the topic that came up yesterday about the deal bond. So you've got a wealth of information. You are brave. Annie is brave, as Philip was brave, and that's what we need, is for people to hear this, even historically, as sad as it is, to recognize this was discussed several years ago, and it's all come true.
And tomorrow we're going to play more guys, and I'd love to have you both back on to comment because I have more clips I want to play tomorrow. And he also, ironically, did a show about the Taliban and Afghanistan. And
yes.
And it's just shocking. Dick, thank you for being with us. We'd like for you to join us again tomorrow. Annie, thank you for being with us. Her website is liveuptofreedom.com, liveuptofreedom.com. Any closing comment, Annie?
Thank you, Brennan. On a personal level and as an American citizen, thank you for doing this today.
Well, thank you, Annie, and thank you for being with us as well as you, Dick. And we'll continue this tomorrow. We have more audio. We have plenty of audio. And it's interesting, is it not, folks, to listen to the warnings of Phil Haney now 2 years since his passing next month. Take care.
This has been Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House. CDs are available by calling 1-800-729-9829. Or to hear an MP3 file of this or earlier programs, go to worldviewweekend.com. Views expressed may or may not be those of Worldview Weekend, BCY America, or this station. This program is a public affairs presentation of worldviewweekend.com and is heard weekdays on BCY America.